Chapter 28. Sometimes Burton thought of himself as a planetary grasshopper, launching himself out into the darkness of death, landing, nibbling a little at the grass, with one eye cocked for the shadow that betrayed the down swoop of the shrike, the ethicals. In this vast meadow of humanity, he had sampled many blades, tasted briefly, and then had gone on. Other times he thought of himself as a net, scooping up specimens here and there in the huge sea of mankind. He got a few big fish and many sardines, although there was as much, if not more, to be learned from the small fish as from the large ones. He didn't like the metaphor of the net, however, because it reminded him that there was a much larger net out for him. Whatever metaphors or similes he used, he was a man who got around a lot, to use a 20th century Americanism, so much so that he several times came across the legend of Burton the Gypsy, or in one English-speaking area, Richard the Rover, and in another, the Loping Lazarus. This worried him somewhat, since the ethicals might get a clue to his method of evasion and be able to take measures to trap him. Or they might even guess at his basic goal and set up guards near the headwaters. At the end of 7 years, through much observation of the day stars and through many conversations, he had formed a picture of the course of the river. It was not an amphisbaena, a snake with two heads, headwaters at the North Pole and mouth at the South Pole. It was a Midgard serpent with the tail at the North Pole, the body coiled around and around the planet, and the tail in the serpent's mouth. The river's source stemmed from the North Polar Sea, zigzagged back and forth across one hemisphere, circled the South Pole, and then zigzagged across the face of the other hemisphere, back and forth, ever working upward until the mouth opened into the hypothetical Polar Sea. Nor was the large body of water so hypothetical. If the story of the Titanthrop, the subhuman who claimed to have seen the misty tower, was true, the tower rose out of the fog-shrouded sea. Burton had heard the tale only at second hand, but he had seen the Titanthrops near the beginning of the river on his first jump, and it seemed reasonable that one might actually have crossed the mountains and gotten close enough to get a glimpse of the Polar Sea. Where one man had gone, another could follow. And how did the river flow uphill? Its rate of speed seemed to remain constant even where it should have slowed or refused to go further. From this he postulated localized gravitational fields that urged the mighty stream onward until it had regained an area where natural gravity would take over. Somewhere, perhaps buried under the river itself, were devices that did this work. Their fields must be very restricted, since the pull of the earth didn't vary on human beings in these areas to any detectable degree. There were too many questions. He must go on until he got to the place or to the beings who could answer them. And 7 years after his first death, he reached the desired area. It was on his 777th jump. He was convinced 7 was a lucky number for him. Burton, despite the scoffings of his 20th-century friends, believed steadfastly in most of the superstitions he had nourished on Earth. He often laughed at the superstitions of others, but he knew that some numbers held good fortune for him, that silver placed on his eyes would rejuvenate his body when it was tired and would help his second sight, the perception that warned him ahead of time of evil situations. True, there seemed to be no silver on this mineral-poor world, but if there were, he could use it to advantage. All that first day he stayed at the edge of the river. He paid little attention to those who tried to talk to him, giving them a brief smile. Unlike people in most of the areas he had seen, these were not hostile. The sun moved along the eastern peak, seemingly just clearing their tops. The flaming ball slid across the valley, lower than he had ever seen it before, except when he had landed among the grotesquely nosed Titanthrops. The sun flooded the valley for a while with light and warmth, and then began its circling just above the western mountains. The valley became shadowed, and the air became colder than it had been any other place except, of course, on that first jump. The sun continued to circle until it was again at the point where Burton had first seen it on opening his eyes. Weary from his 24-hour vigil, but happy, he turned to look for living quarters. He knew now that he was in the Arctic area, but he wasn't at a point just below the headwaters. This time, he was at the other end, the mouth. As he turned, he heard a voice, familiar but unidentifiable. He had heard so many. Dull soul, aspire, thou art not the earth, mount higher. Heaven gave the spark, to it return the fire. John Collop. Abdul ibn Harun, and they say there are no miracles. What has happened to you since I last saw you?